Moses stood on a mountain. Waiting for you to pass by. You placed your hand over his face. In your presence, he wouldn't die. Israel saw your glory, and it shines down through the age. Now you've called us to boldly seek your face. Show me your face. Then gird up my legs, I might stand in this holy place. Show me your face, Lord, your power and your grace. I will make it to the end. If I could just see your face. David knew there was something more than the ark of your presence. In a manger, Messiah was born. Amongst kings and some peasants, and all Israel saw the glory, and it shines down.
I said God has a way of doing that, just showing up at just the right time. And we're always prone to question God's timing. But God's timing is impeccable. Israel was at a low place in their call to worship God, and Moses had been summoned to Mount Sinai to meet with God. While he was there, we know the story, people became impatient and decided to worship in a manner they chose for themselves, what they thought was fitting. So they gathered all the jewelry of all the people and formed a golden calf to worship. And after making burnt offerings and sacrifices, they celebrated, the scripture says, with feasting and drinking and pagan revelry. Their future was in serious jeopardy until Moses interceded for them, begging God to forgive them and to continue guiding them with his presence. So God agrees, and then Moses has the audacity to ask God to reveal his glorious presence. So God covers Moses with his hand as he passes by so Moses could see as much of God as possible without not dying. And so from this experience on Mount Sinai, Moses returns with the Ten Commandments. And for simplicity's sake, this was the beginning of the law and the beginning of what would be known as the Torah. And God showed up just when his people needed him, even if they didn't realize it. And this all transpired during what's called the Jewish Shavuot, which had been called at times the Jewish Pentecost. They relate much to each other. And as followers of Pentecost, we recognize Pentecost as a most significant time. And actually the beginning of the new church, New Testament church, we'll see in a moment as well. But God shows up at one point at Pentecost in power and might just at the right time. And God had promised this outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Isaiah, and he described in part how the Holy Spirit would be revealed. Isaiah 44:3, he says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." Can you hear the despair in this scripture? I'll pour water on a thirsty land and streams on a dry ground. It's as if God is saying, I will show up with the Holy Spirit where everywhere and everyone is yearning to be quenched, yearning for the power and presence of God. Holy Spirit elsewhere is pictured as a water of life that saves and blesses a dying people. The Holy Spirit is promised in the Old Testament, confirmed by Jesus in the New Testament, and he shows up once again in God's perfect timing. The events of the day were such. Jesus had been crucified and resurrected. He appeared to his disciples for over 40 days, and then on the day he returns to heaven, Jesus has some last words to his disciples, and they hold a command and a promise. Acts 1:4 and following, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You've heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." In our Unshakable Hope series, we arrive this morning at another promise from God, a promise that when we grasp it and get it, it helps us live a hope that cannot be shaken, a life with hope that cannot be shaken. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." I've often said, I want you to understand the value and the significance that Jesus places on the Holy Spirit. He has at this time moments away from his ascension. These are his final words to his disciples, and they're vitally important. These words must leave an impact on them, on their lives, lives that are about to be changed permanently. The history of mankind, one of the most significant events, is about to take place. In the plan of God, this is a moment that everything else had been leading up to. This is a moment that will shape the future of the world and shape the population of heaven for eternity. This is a moment. This will determine the effectiveness of the outcome of the cross and resurrection, the finished work of the Messiah. This was the beginning of his church and the beginning of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, if you noticed it, wait. Hold on a minute. Put your suitcases down. Wait. Don't begin to minister just yet. Wait. Don't do anything until you receive the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. The value that he places in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is about to send them on a mission birthed in the throne room of heaven. He's about to send them on this very same mission he has for the church, for you and for me. He's about to send them and us, if you will, out to complete the mission he started. And he knew they needed, and you and I would need, the same power, the same presence, the same anointing that Jesus had when he was spreading the good news and when he was standing against the works of the evil one. If you study the life of Jesus and his time here, you'll notice that he was fully yielded to the Holy Spirit in all things. Acts records this for us. We've looked at it many times over the years. It's a wonderful scripture, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. All that Jesus did while he was on earth, the teaching, the healing, the miracles, the conversations, the edifying, the setting free, everything he did by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God's supernatural power changes us. His power cleanses us. The Holy Spirit and the fire that John the Baptist spoke of is a cleansing fire. So God's power cleanses us. His power changes us. God's power enables us. And his power empowers us. And the power of the Holy Spirit does something else as well. The power of the Holy Spirit sets us apart from everyone who does not know God. The power of the Holy Spirit seals and marks us as belonging to God. The power of the Holy Spirit enables us to live a life as people of God. You and I would never get this right without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying I got it right yet, and I know a lot of you don't. But we wouldn't have a chance, would we, without the power of the Holy Spirit? We're healed by the power of God, we are delivered by the power of God, and we minister to others by the power of God. And our lives should reflect Jesus Christ. We are, after all, Christians. We should be able to say about ourselves, personally, how God anointed us with the Holy Spirit with power. About how we go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed for the devil, for God is with us. The power of the Holy Spirit. And God desires for you to know and to understand his power manifested in your life through the Holy Spirit. Now, as a charismatic church, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Scripture talks much about that, and there's a lot to be said about that, and it's valid, but there's another side of the power of God just living our life and touching the lives of others that we won't do without the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And so often we want to get caught up with what God can do in our life and what God's doing for us and how I'm going to be so good and how I'm going to be blessed and how I'm going to be anointed, and we lose sight of the fact that God's power is to be demonstrated in our lives for touching other people's lives. It's important to know and understand what God expects of us functioning in his power. I can think of a lot of examples. I guess I've used it a couple times. There's one example that I could try to illustrate the true power of God. I think of Niagara Falls. If you've ever been there, there's nothing like standing in front of the falls. The falls are alone. People come from all over the world just to see the majesty of it. Its pictures doesn't do it justice. Man has harnessed some of it. A couple of power plants upstream to give Canada and some of the United States power, but man has never really been able to control the falls. The average amount of water that flows over the American side and the Canadian side, get this, is about 750,000 gallons per second. They estimate it could fill 567,000 bathtubs per minute. That's a lot of water. Over the years, Chris and I have visited the falls. We took the kids when they were little. We'd go, you know, 6, 8, 10 years every once in a while. It's close. It's fun to go to. We've been there, stayed at campgrounds. We've stayed at hotels on the American side. We've stayed at dinky little places and went back and forth. Several years ago, Chris had saved some money, put it away for a while, and surprised me with a stay at the Embassy Suites that overlook the falls, how the other people see the falls. And you could see the falls really clear from our room. It was amazing. I mean, you could leave the window open a crack at night and hear the falls. You could see it without all the crowds, a beautiful view. One night before we went to sleep, I looked out the window at the falls, and what struck me was the change in the view. There were no people. It was late. Nobody was there. Around midnight, they turn off the lights that illuminate the falls. No crowds of people, no cars, no vehicles, just the falls. And do you know, they continue to roar. Nobody turns them off like there's some kind of amusement ride. You can't. Nobody was there, but they continue to roar like they had for countless centuries. All the power and the majesty of the falls are not moved by anyone that's looking at them. They're not moved by circumstances. They are too powerful. In some ways, God is like that. His majesty and his power are not moved by who's watching. God's not moved by surrounding circumstances. He doesn't shut his power off at midnight. His power and his majesty are not dependent on man. He is the creator of the falls. Dipped his little finger in and said, let's watch this. His power and his majesty are not dependent on circumstances. You know, I've often said, we should hunger for the power and manifestation of God in our midst and in our personal lives. We should pray for and hunger for God to move, and we've seen it many times over the years, and we should want that and seek it and pray for it. But that said, the power of God is not some sideshow. It's not some tourist trap. It's real. The power and majesty of God is who he is. God is all-powerful. He is almighty. It's who he is, not what he is. And that's important to get the difference. And whether you acknowledge Christ in your life or not, whether or not you acknowledge his power in your life, God's power remains the same. And if you know Jesus Christ, and if you don't leave here with anything else this morning, get this. If you know Jesus Christ, you are never without God's power. As a believer in Christ, God's power never leaves you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Romans 8:11, if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will give life to, quicken your mortal bodies through the Holy Spirit who lives within you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is living in you. Why don't we get that? Why do we sometimes live mediocre lives or mediocre times of prayer? Power of God lives within you. We know that. We're convinced of it. Scripture's told us that the Holy Spirit bears witness that we're children of God. The Spirit of God lives within us. You are never without the power of God. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives within you. And we've done series on the Holy Spirit. It's so important to know that he is a person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's not just some myth or just some power, but the Holy Spirit, full of power, the same power that anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, dwells within you. And just like you cannot control the power of the falls, you cannot control the power of the Holy Spirit. The difference is he calls us to come alongside with him and flow in his power, to flow with him. For several miles surrounding the falls, there's the usual tourist traps. As if the falls weren't enough to ooh and ah over. We got to go get these little junk trinkets. The area is cluttered with them. Little bottles of water. Colored water that's illuminated falls, really? We buy this stuff, what happens when we bring it home? But, you know, the falls aren't enough. And what's interesting, if you go out away from them, the amount of junk that's there, I mean, the horror and the gore that's in some of these little places you can visit, and whether horror show stops or strip clubs start, and all this detracts and compete with the falls. Maybe, just maybe, we have too much clutter in our lives as well. Perhaps we ooh and ah over the pretty lights and the sizzle and the bells and whistle in our lives and all this stuff that we get caught up in, causing us not to see the power of God in our lives, to be distracted. It's a matter of what you concentrate on, what you focus on, what's vying for your attention. Imagine, if you will, for the moment, the falls pre-clutter. They were there before all the tourist traps. Imagine there was nothing there but the falls. What if it would like to come up and see just that? Without all the junk. As you move just outside the tourist area of the falls, you come across homes and neighborhoods of the people that live there. And I suspect that many of them never take time to visit the falls. Avoid driving by it because of the crowds. There's all that power and all that majesty in their backyards, and they're too busy with life to notice it. Perhaps they've seen it so many times they're no longer excited by it. Because that's what we would do. They wind up looking for something else to excite them. They settle for the substitute rather than the true power. And if we're not careful, we can be just like that with our faith. Been there and done that attitude. And this is exactly where your enemy wants you, to be attracted by the lights, the sizzle of the world, and miss the true power of God that's dwelling right within you. Shops surrounding a falls are selling the man-made sizzle. Take home the fake. God is offering you so much more than that. He's offering you the real deal, and you cannot buy it. It's free. You know, if you go up to the falls, it's going to take some money. You got to travel there, you got to book a room, you got to just, you know, buy the stuff, go there. We went there not too long ago, just to park your car was $25. Really? Just to park your car takes money. God is allowing you and offering to you the power of God for free. Scripture tells us a story about Simon the sorcerer who went around with all these magical tricks. I mean, people thought he was really it. He was something and had a big name for himself. And he got saved, got baptized. He's amazed at the power of the gifts and the miracles. And then he was amazed at the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he came to the apostles and said, "Let me buy this power from you that I might be able to do this." What's happening here? There we go. Acts 8:21, but Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God." God's power is a gift to those that believe in him, to those that know him, and those that understand him. Then there's the daredevils that ride over the falls. I always wonder why. But then I realized, I can guarantee you, a guy thought this up. Because we're guys, we go, you know, it's what that old expression, hold my beer and watch this. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, look at this. Let's see if we could survive going over the falls in a barrel. And you think, who would think of that? Well, we don't think. We just do and deal with it afterwards. If we're honest, that's a reality. Some guy thought it up. So these daredevils go over the falls in a barrel. Some have succeeded. Most have died. They're trying to draw attention to themselves by using a power that is not theirs and by misusing the intent of the power. In a very similar fashion, some try to manipulate the power of God for their own benefit. Some try to use the power of God as a show. God reveals them and their character over time. I said a minute ago that we should hunger for manifestations and a move of God. Whether I'm praying for somebody, some of the other ministers in the church are praying for somebody, you're just praying for somebody in the aisle. Any of you folks, we should hunger and see God move. But that said, I will do my best to never manufacture a move of the Holy Spirit, because you can do it. You're not really manufacturing the Holy Spirit, you're just manufacturing something else. And I have way too much respect for the power and the anointing of God to do that. And also, and I mean sincerely, I have too much respect for you. I think anybody that's mature in Christ over time is going to see the fake. So I refuse to be part of the fake, but I do hunger for God to move and do the best to be sensitive to leading the Holy Spirit when it comes. We should all do the same thing. We should never show up to church like, oh, we'll just come and have church and leave. We should see God move, but not manufacture it. I spoke of the time we visited the Falls and stayed in that room. Last night we're there, all of a sudden, a loud alarm went off in our room, not in the hallway, in our room. And then a speaker in our room. We didn't even know the speaker was there. All of a sudden, this voice starts speaking to us. Attention all guests, there's been a fire alarm on the 19th floor. Our staff is checking it out. Please remain in your rooms until we inform you further. A few moments later, attention all guests, there's been an alarm activated on the 19th floor. The fire department is on its way to investigate. Please remain in your rooms until we further instruct you. Chris and I had a problem with that. The alarm was on the 19th floor. We were on the 29th floor. We weren't going to wait around until it's too late. We got dressed, 4:30 in the morning. We got dressed. We started heading down the stairwell. Hundreds of people. I mean, they were full. Going down the stairwell. Nobody's waiting. Smell smoke all the way down. We get downstairs. We go outside. People are standing around, some in their pajamas. Some poor fellow was getting oxygen over in the valet area. I mean, it was crowded. Took a while. I mean, there were fire trucks, and eventually they let us go up. Never told us what happened when we went back up to our rooms. But here's what struck me about that. If there had been a serious fire, there was more than enough water just a few feet away, a short distance away. 757,000 gallons per second will put out any fire. But unless you have the ability and the authority to tap into the power of the falls, the place could burn down around you. All that power, no rescue. As a child of God, you have the right and the ability to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. God is asking you to draw from Him, to learn to draw on and function in the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, to touch your life and to touch the lives of those around you. Do not disrespect Him. Do not disrespect His power, and do not ignore Him. And do not look elsewhere. Just call on Him. He will answer you and recognize you when you call. Ephesians 4 speaks to us along these lines. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve. You know, you can grieve the Spirit of God in your lifestyle. We've looked at this series on the Holy Spirit, and God directs we'll do more series. And I always said, as a believer in Christ, if anything else you should know and understand is the Holy Spirit, because everything God does in your life, for you, to you, through you, by you, is through the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. So the person of the Holy Spirit, you can grieve, you can quench. But notice it says you were sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. The seal of the Holy Spirit is really significant. It's far more than just a symbol. God has placed on every believer a seal, and it's the seal of God. We may not see it visually, but God sees it. Seals in times past, somebody of prominence, a king or somebody, would have a seal. They put their seal on something that's like, don't mess with that. That belongs to the king. And God's saying, don't mess with them. If you want to mess with them, Holy Spirit says, you got to go through me. Because I've sealed them. were sealed to signify an ownership, an unbreakable seal. We're sealed for a purpose, not just for nothing, but you're sealed by God for an eternity, but to be significant in your life now. You're sealed for a purpose. You're sealed to represent your Father. This is the seal of God the Father. You're sealed to signify great importance. They didn't seal junk. They sealed something that was valuable, something that was important. And God's saying, you're valuable, you're important, and you're sealed to be preserved. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed. Holy Spirit's placed God's seal on you, and his seal is also this indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's presence now is a seal and assurance of the life that we possess now and that we will fully inherit sometime in the future. God has seen a seal on you. He can see his seal on you, and so can the enemy, because you belong to God. And your enemy knows that you belong to God. This scripture verifies that. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption, Ephesians 4:30. Day of redemption signifies payment. Redeemed back. God redeemed. He purchased you back. You were lost. Scripture says if you don't know Jesus Christ, you were under the dominion and the order of the enemy. You belong to the devil. Probably didn't know it before you know Christ, and if you don't know Christ now, you may not even be aware of it. But Scripture says, yes, you are, and Jesus paid a very high price to buy you back. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And you were bought at a price. An original word for price, sir, means valuable of the highest degree, honor, and precious. It's not like the junk in the tourist traps. It doesn't compare. You're no longer under the control and dominion of the devil if you've accepted Christ. You're set free in Christ. Every time the enemy sees you, he sees the Holy Spirit in you. And he sees the seal of God in you and on you. You have the Holy Spirit and all of his power living within you. You have the authority and the right to tap into his power for your life and for the lives of the people you minister to. It's time to stop living mediocre lives. It's time to stop having mediocre prayer. It's time to know that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon you. There's no need to settle for substitutes. There's no need to look elsewhere. There's no need to look for the sizzle and all the junk that we get so caught up in. There's a need to walk in this life and in this moment as a man or woman of God, filled with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, who dwells in you, will give you the power, the grace, the wisdom, the direction, the anointing that you need for whatever's happening in your life. I invite the worship team to come forward. When we visited Niagara Falls, we took our motorcycle up and we traveled several miles outside of it down the parkway. We came across some scenes that were just beautiful. Lakes and rivers and calm and peaceful. And I thought about these peaceful scenes after the falls. They were created, if you will, after the power of the falls. The falls created this sereneness. The power created the peace. If the falls quit feeding into these, they would soon change. Allow the power of God in your life. Allow the power of God to alter your life. Enable him to create peace in your life if need be. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit was prophesied in the Old Testament and fulfilled at Pentecost. Isaiah prophesies, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I'll pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. the busyness of this season that we're in, it's easy to get caught up in all the trappings and distraction this season demands. And soon you feel dry, thirsty for something else. John 7 tells us that Jesus said on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood up and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. The follower of Christ is promised the power of God. When Jesus spoke these words, the following verse wants to make sure you got what he was talking about. The verse says, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone who believes in him. If you're feeling powerless this morning, if you're feeling overwhelmed this morning, feeling dry and thirsty this morning, I'm going to invite you, as we stand to go back into worship, to come to the altar. Come up for prayer. Trust in the power of God. Maybe you just need a touch, a refreshing from God. Show us your face, Lord, and gird up our legs that we may stand in this holy place. So let's stand and worship our God this morning. And if you need prayer for any reason, I invite you to come forward during worship. And let's have the power of God touch all of our lives this morning. So come now if you need prayer.